Hello, everyone. I'm going to let you guys come on in. I am in the middle of shooting self-sabotage. So I just got through with the intro. The first video is always the longest video because I have to set up all the tech. I would just like everybody to know that I am your video editor for this also because we're filming it a different way. So I am setting up tech and making sure that like all the things are working correctly and editing in and out. Things. So anyway, it's awful. I kind of like it. I wish I knew more about ScreenFlow than I do. I know a lot, but I know just enough to make myself dangerous. And I'm like highly tempted to take some classes. So we're going to be doing coaching today. So if you would like to get coached, you just need to raise your hand. If you are over in the chat, Coach Kathy is there. You can talk all you want over there. If you find it distracting, you can always turn chat off. Some people do not like to see it while they're like doing their learning and stuff. And that's no problem. If you have questions about what's going on, feel free to ask them in the chat. Either the people or Kathy can get you answered. And then if you have something very specific for me to answer, like only Corinne could ever answer this question, you can ask it in the Q&A. But I don't always get to Q&A, so if you know for sure you would like an answer, I highly recommend you putting it in the chat and letting Kathy help you with it. And then we'll get to as many people as we can. When you are chatting, make sure you turn on all panelists and attendees. Otherwise, you're only chatting with me and I don't do the chat. So you're going to want to make sure you turn on attendees also so that everybody can see your chat. And I think that's it. Let's go ahead and go with Michelle. So if you want to get coached today, you need to raise your hand and then I will call on people and we will get through as many as we can in the next little bit. All right. There's not many of you who want to be coached today. One person. All right. It's going to be a fun day. We're going to get out early.
Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. I think I'm doing this right. So
yeah, you are.
I came with notes.
Oh, well, that's even better. Then you're doing it perfectly.
Hey, well, I didn't want to ramble. I wanted to be very coherent in what I was thinking. So I've been doing a lot of journaling lately. So there's a sequence of how I got to this point, but we won't worry about that. So I'm having challenges with developing my future self.
Okay.
Due to holding on to, and I'm, for lack of a better word, let's call it old trauma. It's too much of a word, but I can't come up with anything else.
And how about my past?
I'm sorry, what?
Well, what if we just called it my past?
We'll go with that. My past. I like it.
Let me ask you this. When you think of old trauma, mm-hmm. how does that feel?
Heavy.
Yeah. It's really hard to come up with a light future self when you're dragged down by an albatross called your heavy trauma.
That is spot on. Like spot on. It feels like I have a weight around my neck. So that's what I'm trying to work on. So I'm trying to reconcile putting my past behind me. Like I went to camp in October and we talked about sort of putting your inner child that past to rest.
Yeah.
But for me, the underlying component to that is the past part of it is a sense of abandonment. So I'm in a circular pattern where it's, if I'm saying goodbye to that part of my life, I almost feel like I'm abandoning myself, which is not really logical, but I'm in.
Let me ask you this. How is hanging on to your past right now? Cause that's obviously what you're doing, right?
It's correct.
All right. So how is it right now? How is it working for you? Tell me like the repercussions of, because we keep things, you may have good reasons to keep it. And then, but there may be ways that you could see right now where it's kind of like, these are the things that I notice that when I'm in my past and I'm hanging on to it and I'm telling the story, it affects what today?
Well, the thing is I don't deal with it. I don't talk about it.
Okay.
And how that has manifested itself to today is I joke about having serious control issues, but it's really not funny. but I do. I don't let myself feel the emotions. I like to keep things quite, if you will, bottled up.
Well, let me ask you this though. But everything ends up on the action line. So when you're not handling it and you're not feeling it, you're doing what?
It could be a host of things. I'm
like
eating to feel numb so I don't have to feel the feelings. I'm
so if I eat, then I won't be thinking about my past.
Correct.
I abandon my future and I abandon my current self. How else are we abandoning ourselves today? So that we can keep old self.
Right. I recognize the fact of letting it go. I guess I'm not sure on the how is crazy. Ooh,
I think you do know how.
Okay.
You had to take a wild fucking stab at how you let the past go. What do you think that would look like today?
Well, part of me says, well, it's as simple as just making the decision to do it. But well, in my head, it's not as simple as that. That's what I'm trying.
Why is it not that simple though? So your head says, well, it's not that simple because this always happens. And what is that?
I don't think I've actually dealt with any of it.
Yes, you have. You've dealt with it with food. You've dealt with it with isolation. You've dealt with it with thinking about it. Yeah. You've dealt with it by ruminating and stuff. Like, we've dealt with it so much, we probably ought to quit dealing with it.
Okay, I got it. That totally makes sense.
Your problem is you deal with it too much at this point.
Well, and I'm dealing, and in my head, I'm thinking I need to deal with it as in feel the feelings. But the reality is, I've been doing that, but I've been shoving them down. Like, I've made a choice somewhere along the way to do that. I'm following you. Yeah.
But this is where people get hosed. They're like, well, I need to feel the feelings. Well, if the feelings are going to all be bad, and it's like, well, the only way to move out of my past is to either snack to get out of it, eat to get out of it, or sit around in a ball of doo-doo and feel my feelings. I wonder which route we will touch on every single time. Like, what if literally this is what it looks like? I remember I have thoughts of my past. They come in. I start to feel really bad. I remind myself, but we're working on our future now. That part's over. And you do that like 500 times a day.
Yes.
How you stop living in the past is by letting the past come up, recognize the thoughts that you have, redirect, and start showing up. Now, the redirect part for you is someone who is now living in her future doesn't eat when the old thoughts come up. That will be the feelings part that comes along for the ride.
Yes.
It's not like, let's pretend you were raped as a child. Okay. Fun times on a Sunday afternoon. Right. But usually, like, when people talk about trauma, like, we've got so many girls in the tribe who were literally raped as children. Like, they've had traumatic past. All the things have happened. And let's say that today you're 40 and you have stuff around that. Like, it comes up for you. Like, you start losing weight. And it triggers all of your old trauma. Like, you know, well, you were really thin when you were a kid. It was probably why, you know, like, that's how you reconciled it as a child. The 40-year-old version of you has to, like, hear that and say, yeah, but we're 40. And logically, we know that's not going to happen. And you know what now we're going to do? Not eat and redirect our mind. It's no fun. It's kind of boring.
Yeah, it's not.
That's feeling feelings.
Yeah, I guess I was thinking that I had to make it, I'm going to just say, more dramatic, and I don't.
No.
No.
It does not have to be dramatic. Now, if you have old trauma that comes back over and over and over and over again, and like you have a visceral physical feeling every single time, that's probably where people need to actually seek a little therapy to kind of, you know, dig into all of that and stuff. But if we're just talking about just, you know, like, look, I have thought about when I was a child and abused all my life. I intellectually get it now that none of that's going to happen to me again. That, you know, when I'm just sitting and talking to someone, like, I know these things aren't going to happen to me. Some, like, I can see all of my thought patterns. That is someone who's really ready to just be like, I've really looked at it. And like, the rewriting has happened in this way. The rewriting is that part of my life is over. I'm now grown up and I do know how to protect myself now. Like, I've done that stuff. You don't have to go back and say like, oh my God, it was amazing that all that happened. And, you know, rewriting your past, like for me, I have parts of my past I rewrote where it's just a simple, like, yeah, that sucked. And it led to all these behaviors that I formalized over the years. And now I'm grown up and I don't have to deal with that anymore. Like, I know my path and I know where I want to go. Now I just have to reconcile new behaviors and the discomfort of doing that. Like not eating when I feel ashamed of myself. Like that's the new version of me. Now, for some people though, they really need to, like, they still have their past and they can't stop feeling scared today. They haven't done the work of really understanding that things can't hurt them today. That's a whole different realm. So you just have to decide for you. It sounds more like to me, you are someone who is decided, you know, in order to put my past to bed, it needs to be very deep. And it's going to be like weeks of me like feeling all kinds of emotion by myself. And like a candle is involved or something.
Yeah. And I, you know, hit myself. Yeah, I know. I say overcomplicating it. And I knew that I was in the weeds. And it's funny because I don't think that this would have necessarily popped up in my head, but here we are stuck in a pandemic and I got time on my hands to, and I've been doing a lot of journaling, which is great. And I started out where I was noticing a connection between feeling guilty about procrastination at work. So over the course of 2 weeks, I got here and I thought, oh, well, isn't that some shit?
Let me ask you this. Is your past important?
Is my past important? And I say yes and no in the fact that I generally like who I am as a person. Mm-hmm. So in order to be here in this moment and be the person I am, those things had to have happened.
Okay. So you are someone who's really ready to just be like, you know what's going to happen? I'm going to have a lot of old thoughts, old programming about my past, old thoughts that come up about my past. I've done plenty of work on that. It's time to like, what do I want for my future? Like, I think for you, what I'm really sensing is that your future is not getting the airtime because you keep thinking if you reconcile something here, suddenly the future becomes clear.
Yes.
No, the future gets rewritten just like that past does, which means you're going to have to start thinking about the future a lot and write about the future a lot and about what you want and figure out your thoughts that get in the way of your future and the things you might be scared of and the things you look forward to and all that kind of stuff. You need to spend more time there and then get off this. And this happens to a lot of people. We make our past so important. The reason why I asked you the question, because it was very interesting. You actually gave a super really like helpful answer for yourself. Like it made me who I am. Like I've done, that's how I know you've done work on it. Mm-hmm. When someone says, yeah, it's really important because it stops me. That's when we know that we have to make the past so unimportant. It's like, no, the past never stops us. Unrecognized thoughts about our past, that's what stops us.
So change and journal up more about the future and I don't want to say don't journal about the past, but really make a conscious effort to focus on the future rather than the past.
Yeah. So I wouldn't purposely go back to your past anymore. Your brain is so wired to go there. We need to rewire it to want to go to the future. So I would be purposefully doing a lot of future work. And then when you are going to your past, what I want you to do is I want you to notice what parts of your past, like either the past itself or the story around it, that you pull out to distract you from probably doing the things you need to do to create the future you want.
Yes.
It's like a buffer.
Yes.
You know, it's like, oh, we're going to like lose more weight and not give up. Like we're giving up that 8 o'clock snack. You know, you probably ought to process more feelings. Suddenly it's like it's 8 o'clock and you're thinking about your past and it's like, do we really need to be thinking about that right now? Or do we need to be thinking about not having a snack?
Interesting. That's to some degree, it's been a way to avoid working on my future self.
Yeah. We can like, seriously, you can buffer with anything. So if y'all don't know what a buffer is, you can take anything that you have and use it as a distraction from doing the very thing it is that you know you need to be doing. So we'll get into even more of this in next month's self-sabotage, you'll find Self-Sabotage Month fascinating because you'll get to, I think that that course will help you go to the stories of your past in a very productive and constructive way. I built a workbook around making sure that as you guys are going in and looking for the stories you have built around food and your body and all this other stuff, you can, like, the most useful ways to go back and look at it versus just, you know, let me just go back there and try to find something to get in my way.
Right. I never thought of it as being a distraction. Like I didn't. And I'm like, oh shit, what do you know?
Yeah. Well, and it's funny because a lot of people do it because we're kind of taught in our life to to explain how we are in the world. We're really only taught to explain to someone like, hi, I'm Corinne, and here's the things I've done. Mm-hmm. Rather than, hi, I'm Corinne, here's the things I'm working on. Did you know that I'm building a business? Did you know that I'm training to do this? Did you know I'm doing these things? It's like, hi, I'm Corinne. I went to X and X college and I work at this place and I do these, you know, we're the subtle programming that we've all grown up around is very past focused. It's not a broken mm-hmm. sense, but it is how we all have defined ourselves. And you have to, I think in order to achieve new things, you have to rewire your brain to go and look forward to figure out who you're going to be. Like a lot of people, when they lose weight, like first I decide based upon how many failures I've had at weight loss. Mm-hmm. Like, am I going to buy this program? How many of you joined PNP and before you bought it, the one thing you kept thinking is like, well, you know, this is probably going to be one more program I throw money at. Like you make your purchasing decision based on how many failures you've had. Mm. Who you like, you know, what's gone wrong in your life. A lot of you will even do the same thing with like, you'll make your food plan this week. You won't base it on what you want to eat and the result you want at the end of the week and stuff. You'll look back and say, like, well, you know, I really fucked up on Wednesday. I need to do better this week. And so you make a plan this week from your shitty thoughts of your past experience this week versus this is what I really want for me this week. And I want to experience success at the end of the week. And I want each day to not have to make myself eat things. I want to like enjoy the process and stuff. So if I'm going to create a plan this week, I want to do it from the version of the person I want to be, not from the version I'm trying to run away from. The energy is different. And when you create mm-hmm. plans from your future, and when you start learning the skill of tapping into your future, you'll notice that you feel drawn towards it. You'll notice that the things that you set up in order for you to do, the steps ahead of you, are easier to do because they have purpose and meaning behind them. But if you just keep setting up your current life to avoid making the mistakes of the past, a lot of us overcorrect time and time again. And we like wonder why we just end up staying the same all the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's
a good one. Thank you. All righty. Is that your kitchen?
Yes.
That is a lovely color you have painted your walls. I love
it. Thank you.
I'm just going to let you know that. I'm always looking at backgrounds. Thank you.
Thanks.
Oh my God, y'all, I'm so hot, but I'm just going to tell everybody there is no shirt underneath this and I can't take my jacket off. Michelle Johnson. Let me text Chris because I got sweat pouring down my boobs. I'm hot.
Oh.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. Tell me what we're coaching on. You've been to camp.
I have. I was at the August Transformation Weekend.
Yes, I was going to say, like, your face is ultra familiar.
We were on top of each other because of the way the room was set up. I was pretty much straddling you and you were straddling me until they rearranged the room the first
time. That's hilarious. Okay.
Yes. I was doing my TDL this morning and I had a huge aha. And as I thought about my aha, I decided I wanted to avoid it. So here's my situation. I'm trying hard to have my power thought to be things like I'm choosing to show up as my best self and that I'm learning to trust in myself. And yesterday I decided, just in the middle of my day, everything had been planned, all that. I asked my husband on his weekly shopping trip to buy me a snack. It happens to be a Whoopie Pie.
Okay.
And they're not just a little dinky Whoopie Pie. They're pretty big ones. In my
Well, if you're going to have a Whoopie Pie, you might as well have a Whoopie Pie, right?
Go for broke.
Well, we don't want like half-assed Whoopie.
No. And he's so sweet, he brought me two.
Okay.
And then he said, you know, you might want to cut them in half so you can have half today, you know, 4 days instead of 2 days.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's, I mean, honestly, that was nice of him. And then I'm thinking, oh, then I go into the, oh my God, I shouldn't even have one, but can I have a fork? So I sat down, totally off plan, ate the first one. The other one is still sitting downstairs. I didn't have that.
Okay.
So I'm writing my TDL on it, and then I pull out my model. And my model is my circumstances, I have an urge. And then my thought is, well, why not? I asked for it. He got it. Great. And my feeling was just kind of flat. I was just kind of like, nah.
Yeah.
Sure, that's right, but
no, so that's fine. Like, I mean, I think a lot of people when they have urges, so in your model, you're getting your opinion about your urge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just want to make sure you know that's what you're doing, because you can put urge on the feeling line and figure out what drove you to have the urge to eat the whole thing, or you can put the urge in the C line, which gets your opinion about having an urge in the moment.
I wrote urge instead of Whoopie Pie, so I could look at any urge there instead of just the Whoopie Pie. And then I eat it as my action. And then my results kind of like, fuck it. I ate it without a care. So I tried to turn
that
around.
Tell me what your thought was.
My thought was, why not?
Okay. So that's not a thought. So that's a question.
Question. Yeah. And that's, I'm hung up there. But
so it could be, it won't matter. I'm like, well, tell me, why not?
Yeah. Why not? Well, I'm giving up all my goals, not all of them, but I mean, I'm giving up my goals. Chances are a big ass Whoopie Pie is not going to show a loss in the scale department. So
did you have any of that conversation though? When you asked
when
yourself
asked
that?
When I asked for it and ate it? Not this time, no. But today, because I have the other one, I am having all of that.
Okay. So you learned a lot. That's good.
I did. I did. So today though, my circumstance was still the urge, which is a Whoopie Pie. And then I wrote, who gives a shit, which was interesting because as I worked through the meh and the eat it, I got to my result being that, well, who gives a shit? That would be me. And clearly I don't give a shit.
Let me ask you this. Do you give a shit? Do you give a shit?
Do I give a shit about eating a Whoopie Pie?
Weight loss.
Do I give a shit about myself? Yes. And my
okay. So watch how quickly.
Yeah, it went quick.
Right. No, not the thought. I want you to watch how quickly you believed that you must not give a shit because you ate food.
Right. That was quick. Not so pretty, huh? All right.
Look how quickly you go to judging everything that comes out my mouth and yours.
True. It's true. All right. All right. See, I knew you'd have some perspective. All right.
So here's the thing I want you to really focus in on. First of all, I think you're doing a good job of figuring out when an urge comes over me, here's things that come into my brain. Here are the sentences that are coming in. So I think it's very useful for you because yours tend to be questions. Who gives a shit? Like why bother or whatever the other one was, you know, same ones. It's good for you when you do these types of models for you to actually like say, okay, since a sentence can't be the thought, let me press on myself to figure out what other thoughts might be going on there around an urge. Like why, I would love for you to like answer the question is, why do you think you like have an urge and think, well, who gives a shit? And it moves fast. Why do you think it's why do you think that?
I don't know. I don't know why I don't think that. Why do I?
Like, why do you think it's happening fast for you?
I think I try to push it aside. I think I don't want to deal with whatever's there. I don't know what exactly is there.
It's just an urge.
That's it.
I think that's the problem is that thought there. I don't want to deal with whatever's really there. Like, what if it's, let me ask you this. if there's nothing really there other than whoopie pies taste really good and I like them, like what if that's the extent of the problem?
Well, that makes it a lot easier, less judgy.
Okay, so what if we just decide that urges don't require, I guess, unearthing things that you don't want to see, right?
Yeah.
What if there's nothing to see other than the obvious? Like,
well, that's a lot of relief.
Do what?
That provides a lot of relief that I don't have to dig at it.
Then I would like probably... if it's going to provide you with relief, I would ride that urge thought train all the way to go away.
All right.
Let me just tell all of you this. As someone who experiences urges on the regular, I don't think there's anything broken in the plumbing when a bottle of wine sounds really good. Like, I swear to God this happened. This morning, like, I'm on my period, and I'm, like, swelled. And I yelled at Chris all day yesterday and started my period. And he said, and he was so nice. And he's usually not that nice when I'm just, like, snapping like crazy. And I came into his office, like, around, like, 6 o'clock. And I said, like that. And he said, what is it? And I was like, Mother Nature's here. And he looked at me and grinned. He's like, oh, I know. He said, I could have been your period app knowing that that was coming just based on how you acted all day long. And so we just started laughing. So this morning I wake up and of course I'm tired and like all the things. And I looked at him and I said, I know it's like really early in the morning, but we're putting wine on the plan tonight. Like I was just dead set. Like this is happening. And then I gave myself about an hour and a half. And by 10 o'clock, I was like, I'm going to be too tired to drink wine. I didn't think something was wrong with me because I had an urge at 8 o'clock in the morning. I just noticed that I did. I was open to the idea that it was just an urge and I would probably think about wine a lot today or maybe not. Okay. But I didn't like sound off, you know, the purge horn or anything. Like it was just like, this is what we deal with. Sometimes whoopie pies, we just want one. Sometimes our husband brings two and our brain freaks out a little bit. Like this is going to be a major problem because I always think that urges are really deep and there's probably thought work involved and restriction and deprivation. There's probably 1,000 thoughts that come up and it's like that willingness to be with that is where the real power comes in. And sometimes you drink the wine and sometimes you eat the whoopie pie and you figure out like, oh, I should probably the next time I'm asking myself questions like who gives a fuck, I should probably just at least give myself the gift of an answer. Okay. I do. I may still eat it, but I really do give a fuck because I know it's going to not make the scale go down. This is just me, you know, having something that I really want right now, like just telling an honest story around it. So often that piece done enough times starts making it to where you do the I give a fuck and here's why story that you don't eat much whoopie pie or you just put the whoopie pie away or it makes to like the bonus whoopie pie that came into the house easier to not eat the next day because you remind right. yourself of your, like when we were talking in the last call, you remind yourself, I give a fuck for these reasons because I want these things for my future. And here's the prices that I'm going to have to pay if I do have it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Don't make them such a big deal. Very rarely are you guys eating for big reasons other than it tastes good. It gets you out. Like sometimes like our last caller, she's probably eating to stop thinking about her past. And in her mind, in order to move on from her past, she's got to like feel really deep, dark things. It's like, I wonder why we keep eating. If the price to stop eating is all of that,
right?
No, you're not going to choose it. But what if the price to stop eating is my past is over? Sometimes I'm going to think about it. I don't really need to keep feeling this over and over and over again. I've processed that feeling a lot. I need to start processing these other feelings, like not having whoopie pie when I want it.
All right.
I think you did great.
Thank you.
I do. You had your whoopie pie. You learned a lot of lessons. You did models. You did everything that I've taught you. And then today, like you had the urge, and what happened?
It's just sitting there. It's offered up to anyone who wants it.
Yeah. You remembered the experience of yesterday and you decided to create a new one today.
I did put it on my plan today in case I decide to have it, but it was more of a reactionary thing than a, you know, it's planned, but I don't have to. Have it.
Well, now what you can do is you can really look at like the whoopie pie now and say like, I wonder if I want to have the whoopie pie just because in case I want to have it, or do I just want to make a decision right now? It's either happening or it's not, and love my reason for it. Not be afraid of it, not do anything, but like legit, I'm making a decision and I'm all in on it being absolutely right according to what I want for my future. And whatever that decision is, I'm all in.
Excellent. Yeah, I can do that.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye. It's good seeing you again.
Good to see you. Thanks.
Katie. I'm telling you, I need water and a Midol, and the air conditioning is on, y'all, which is good. Y'all are getting the queen of discomfort today. Let me type in Midol and water. My poor Chris. He's just sitting downstairs, just trying to be a dad and all the things, and I'm just like, give me some air conditioning. Give me some Midol. Bring me some water. After a day of yelling at you. All right, beautiful. What are we talking about?
Well, I did
another familiar face. This is my day.
And I'm coming back for July.
There you go. Good. All right.
Okay. So I did the relationship workshop. You did the other weekend.
Yes.
And I did a lot of progress. But Duane is on the road. He's been gone now.
Duane.
Yep. He's been on the road for like 5 weeks now in Kansas. I haven't seen him. We just FaceTime. And he, of course, was my focus on the relationship course. But this morning, I had like an epiphany kind of when we were talking. And he was all in a good mood. And I hated to kind of wreck it. But yet at the same time, it was a perfect time to say that this is the most relaxed I felt in years that when he's on the road. Because of the quarantine, I don't need to worry about him being in a bar and drinking, or, you know, who he's meeting and is it going to turn into something else, or.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Let's just stop right there. Okay. There's so much already to coach. You're presenting me a buffet, so slow down, mama. I'm beginning to think I'm going to go past my two. Let's start with number one, which is one of the ones that I really want you to draw a conclusion to. And this is the thought of, because of quarantine, I now don't have to worry about bars and whatever else. I can't even remember. I just remember bars, him going to bars, right? Mm-hmm. That's not because of quarantine. Do you know what that is because of?
He has to stay in his hotel room and he has to cook for himself.
No. I'm going to promise you, if Duane wanted to get drunk and get rowdy, he'd figure it out.
Oh, yeah. He's bought the beer. He brought it back to his hotel room.
Okay. So.
It's okay, but.
Right. But I want you to take ownership for your thinking. The reason why I'm not worrying is because I have thoughts that this is different.
Okay.
This is not because it is different. Like, when we're not under court, like, the reason why this is so important for you, Katie, is because quarantine's going to lift. And then your brain is going to be like, you know what, when under these circumstances, I don't have to worry, but under these circumstances, worry is something I have to do. All of your worrying, tell me how productive it is.
It's not.
let me ask you this. Does your worry ever solve for Wayne in a bar?
No, it just creates anxiety and all these other emotions. But the longer and the more I work on it, the far they get apart from each other. It's not like back to back to back to back. Huh. Like, this is the first time that this came into my mind in months. I mean, just months. And it was
months. And we haven't even been under quarantine for months.
Yeah. Yes.
So this is a really important distinction for you, just for your own sake.
Okay.
For your mental sake, is that your worries, one, have never solved anything, and they have always been optional. They're optional now, just like they were months ago, just like they were a year ago.
Okay, yep.
So, like, really understanding that, because your brain, the way that it said it, thank you, babe, the way that it said it is, I don't have to worry right now, which means your brain says, quarantine is ending and the worry day is coming. I want you to think about how relaxed you've been, and I don't want you to give away credit to the quarantine. I need you to figure out, what thoughts have I been using while all of this has been going on that are useful for me, that give me peace, that help me feel relief and stuff, that give me relaxation. Let me find all of those thoughts. Mm-hmm. And then find the ones that are useful going forward.
Okay.
No matter what the circumstance is, because almost every thought can be applied to any circumstance.
Okay.
Like, one that you could have, like you said, I don't have to worry, mm-hmm. is a very useful thought any time of the year. I don't have to worry. So when worry comes in, it's like, I don't have to worry.
Okay.
And it doesn't have to be because you trust him.
Okay.
It can be because you trust you to feel good for your own sake.
Okay.
It can be like, I don't have to worry because I've shown myself it's never solved anything. That's okay. going to be really important for you. Otherwise, what you're running the risk of is, the only way for you to feel good is for Dwayne to create the result in your model of behaving like, oh, well, now and I get to feel good. I just got to wait on Dwayne to get all his shit together.
Well, and I thought I'd have a really good handle on it. For my birthday in October, he had been gone again for weeks, and we talked on my birthday. My kids did not make a cake or anything like that. So told Dwayne that I expected a present this year, that for my birthday, you know, I expected him to acknowledge it, because he thinks sometimes, well, he doesn't think, I feel that he gets to have a pass when he's on the road, or he, you know, and we had talked about it. And then when he finally came home in November, my birthday had been 3 weeks before that, nothing. I waited for 3 days to see if he was going to surprise me. I had booked us a hotel room, and I had got a babysitter to come and stay with the kids so we could have just some private time.
Yeah.
And we were out to eat, and I said, well, my mom had asked what I got for my birthday. And I told her, there's a big crowd of us, there were like 15 of us. And I said, but Dwayne hasn't given me mine yet. So I'm really like excited. And he kind of looked at me and I'm like, wait a minute. And I said, we had this discussion. If you have time to go shopping with your coworker for his wife, I would have thought, why? I don't want to be an afterthought. I want to be a forethought. And
well, I find it curious that, like, Wayne not getting you a birthday present, that you decide I'm an afterthought.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's on you, right? Not on Dwayne.
Yes.
Wayne doesn't get you a present. You could easily be, I'm disappointed mm-hmm. because I asked for a gift and didn't get one. I would rather you be doing that, because let me tell you the difference between, because here's what I want to tell you. If you want to be disappointed about Dwayne not getting you presents and stuff, mm-hmm. you're very entitled to that. You're a human being, but you're not doing that. You're self-loathing. You're making the things that Dwayne does, and you set him up for lots of ways to reinforce you're not good enough. So let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. The stuff you ask Dwayne to do for you, is that in his DNA? Like, why did you have to ask for a present? Is it because he's so amazing at giving gifts?
Yeah, he used to be. He used
to, he used to be. So did Chris 20 years ago. He's not so much anymore. Like, I don't get presents ever.
Yeah. And we went through therapy, and that was one of the things that he would go so immersed in his life on the road that I share the calendar with him, so he knows when the kids have activities and what's important to the kids.
Right. I get it that you set him up for failure all the time. I really understand what's happening here.
Yeah. I shouldn't have to remind them to check in with the child to say, hey, how'd that go?
I see where you set him up for failure all the time so that you can reinforce your belief system around how he should be versus getting really focused on the man that he is.
Yeah. So.
That's painful for Katie. Like, when you say he should check the kids, guess what? No, he shouldn't. You know why? He's not doing it.
No, he's not.
So you feel like shit when that happens because of your thought around it. Now, if you want him to check the kids, you could easily also say, I know exactly why I feel bad. I want to be married to the kind of man that checks on their kid. And I'm not.
Yeah.
That's very different than if he just start doing all this stuff that I know Dwayne ain't going to do. So I'm just going to sit back and be a victim of Dwayne. And then I'm going to create calendars and tell him birthday gifts and do all this stuff based on this fake ass husband I'm married to. And he's going to fail every time. And then I'm going to feel bad because of it.
Yes and no. He does. He has acknowledged that he does lack the empathy when he's on the road.
Yeah.
And it's hard for him. And we've worked on that. I mean, that's in therapy and everything else, that he would try to be more involved with our lives.
Okay.
Here.
I think that's wonderful. But I think you know what you're playing with now. You're playing with a deck where somebody has to, he has said, I know what you want. And I am going to have to really work hard to be who you want me to be. And it's going to go against every, like, I don't even have the skills to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I lack empathy, but you want somebody who has empathy. So I'm going to try, but that'd be like saying, hey, I need you to start speaking Japanese today.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I never spoke no Japanese. What am I going to do? You know, Ganishiwa, that's about all I got.
Yeah, I know.
But
yeah.
I just want for you and your sake, for you to keep doing your thought work on, go through that relationships manual a couple of times on Dwayne over and over and over again. I want you to uncover all these ideas. The only problem that I want you focused on right now is, it is okay for me to want these things, as long as I understand that this list of things that I want from Dwayne caused me this amount of pain.
Mm-hmm.
That's me. That's not him. Because then you will start finding the things. And this is an old pattern. So I remember this when we had our last roundabout in our, which one did you come to? It was a 2-day, right? Or 3-day?
I did the added on 2 days for the weekend.
Yes.
I think that was in June, May.
Yeah. No, it was probably last April, I would bet.
Yeah, something like that.
But anyway, I remember that because it was you and one other person. We had two dudes we were working on the whole weekend. Yeah. And so what I want you to remember is that you're going to have a list of stuff with Dwayne that really matters.
Mm-hmm.
But because you want him to be who you want him to be, you're also going to have a list of things that you request and that you set him up for that he's no good at, that keeps you feeling bad, that don't really matter.
Okay.
Just like, you know, I don't know how important birthday gifts are to you, but if I had to choose between him putting all of his energy and effort into checking on his kids, I think I could let go of a birthday present that I could buy myself.
Yeah.
Well, but and when it's all a problem, it's all a problem.
And that was my way to combat his saying, well, I didn't know what's happening. I didn't know what was going on. You know, you didn't tell me. And that was my way to say, well, I'm making a calendar so you can, you know, take on the responsibility to check it. And, but so lots of thought downloads, lots of models I've been doing. The thing that still tears me up then is when the kids come to me and they said, you know, dad didn't do this or dad didn't, you know, I didn't talk to dad. And so then.
And I think that that's very normal.
Yeah.
But what I don't want you doing is destroying your marriage through the process, like you're 50% of it, mm-hmm. by having loads and loads and loads of expectations on him to where he doesn't want to do any of it because he just keeps getting set up for failure. Mm-hmm. And your brain has got to clean up how you think about Dwayne. Mm-hmm. You don't have to think amazing thoughts about him, but you need to understand when I'm disappointed, it's because I think he should be doing this. I need to question, is this even in his wheelhouse? Is this, right. Does this even matter?
Yeah.
Do I need to start off slower?
And it was like, oh, I miss snuggling in bed. And he goes, well, you know, he said something about missing a blanket not falling on the floor. I'm like, I didn't. So we had two different concepts of what we're missing. You know, he didn't want his blanket to fall off the bed, and I wanted him in the bed, you know, and I had to let that go because his mind was not where I was. So it didn't make it anything. I didn't need it, make it mean anything about what he thought a relationship meant and how invested he was. So that I know I've come a long way in that. Yeah.
And I think too, spending less time in his head and judging him and staying really focused on your head and what's going on in it. And when you're using how he shows up as a way to judge yourself. Like, I think that first layer of work for you is really, Dwayne shows up as he is. Mm-hmm. And before we go off creating rules and structure and all these things for him to act different so you can feel different, let's just let him do it the way he does it. Okay. And notice how you think and start working on, all right, when he does all these things, I've got to transition from making this mean something's wrong with me to just being disappointed because I would like him to do these things. Like I noticed that I'm going to at least get out of the part where I judge myself and move over into the realm of where I can work on, okay, I know I'm disappointed because I want him doing all of these things and he's not doing them. Mm-hmm. That shifts the focus. Because then when you're no longer self-loathing and doing all of that shit, then you can start questioning all of the things that you want him doing and all this other stuff and start understanding like, okay, where am I trying to set him up to fail?
Okay.
And where are the really important things about our relationship? You know, like, and I'm not saying gifts are wrong, but it's the only thing that we've talked about. So this is the easy grab, but it's like, when he lets my kids down and they come to me, I think I'd rather start working on that. And I would not give a shit about him, like not wanting to snuggle and worried about a blanket. And I'm not going to give a shit about a birthday gift. I'll buy my own. Like this set of stuff I'll let go of while we really focus on this, like Rome's burning. Yes.
Yes. And it's funny you say that. It's because my daughter, the one that had tried to commit suicide twice, she actually said something to me like that, but I'm setting her up for failure. So this is definitely something I guess I really need to focus on and how to,
what we do when we set people up for failure is it's a two-prong thing. The first thing is that we have a definition of how they should be in our head without even considering who they are. We just have it like, daughter, perfection is arrived when you act this way. Mm-hmm. And if you act this way, I'm going to get to feel so much better. That's the first way we set people up for failure. And then the second way that we set people up for failure is by having thoughts about them and who we think they are. Well, you're a shit show. You don't ever do anything for me. Like you're hard to love. You know, I'm always going to have to worry about you. Mm-hmm. Like when we have, just do a download on the person that they are, we end up hosing them because we are creating this environment of, you know, I believe that you're not going to be the person that I want and that it's going to be really hard to get you there. So now what I'm going to do is I'm going to create this perfect ass scenario, give it to you, and then turn around and be like, oh, I don't know why I'm so hurt. I don't know why you don't just change. I don't know why, like, I'm so confused as to why, you know, our relationship is in the shitter. Mm-hmm. And that's where we get to take ownership. And I will just tell everybody this, because what I want all of you to know is one of the lessons that I'm working on when it comes to relationships and everything is I don't want to be blaming anybody anymore for how I feel, ever. I have just decided the easiest way to get through life is to take 100% responsibility that if there's a problem in a relationship, it has to be all my fault somehow. And if I allow myself to take all the ownership of it, it makes me really think at a high level of where I'm screwing up, where I'm setting all of this up, where I could do better. And then I'm not in a self-deprecating way. Like, I could have said this, I could have bought my own gift, I could have done this, you know, I possibly could have just sent like one day's worth of only the activities that Matt, like, could have told the kids, tell me the one thing you want daddy at this month. Not all of them, you get one. We're going to work on one this month. You know, like, where's my ownership in this? And when you do that, it allows you to think in a bigger way, and it allows you to put the focus all on you in what you can control, and it makes you start showing up in a bigger way, and it takes the emphasis off of anybody being wrong. There's just so much more traction in the long run that way. And a lot of us, if we would just do that part first, then what happens is a lot of the bullshit gets cleaned up, and then you're left with real deal things that you may need to have conversations over. Not all of it, so that we can reach perfection and that we can reach ideal and we can, you know, do all those things. Okay. I will tell you, your energy, I can tell you're working, because your energy, like since last year, 100% different. Like, seriously, you were so locked in last year that Dwayne was a problem.
Right.
I can tell you're working on it. So good for you.
Thank you. Can't wait.
You're
to
welcome.
See you again.
All righty. Bye-bye. I can always tell when I've coached someone, especially for one of our weekends and stuff, when somebody's doing a lot of their own self-work and really just, you know, it doesn't matter, guys, if you do the models and stuff correctly. It matters that you're thinking about your thinking. It matters that you're observing yourself. It matters that you're watching yourself and seeking a bigger, better answer for you. Like, I promise you, if everybody had to turn in models for the last year who I see who've made the biggest progress, I could probably grade them and change every single one of them. It would never matter. So for all of you who avoid that thought work and avoid the models and stuff, don't be so scared. You can't do them wrong. The only time you're doing them wrong is when you're not doing them. Tanya.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
How are you doing? Good. I'm just really
You're fine. Cool,
I wanted to come on and get coached. So I've been doing a lot of thought work lately, working around the mastering time.
Okay.
And I coached with Kathy probably last week or the week before. And when I went back and listened to it, the thought I pulled out that I didn't realize I was having was I tell myself the story that no one helps me.
No one helps me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And so it's not true.
Well, good.
And
that's even better. We don't even have to work on acceptance of zero help.
You know, so maybe people aren't mind readers and they aren't doing it exactly like I'd want them to. But
right.
For me to say that people aren't helping me is not true at all. So I have a lot of people that love me and help me. So what I'm trying to figure out now is I see it kind of bubbling up and coming up over and over again as I'm thinking through things. So just looking for some ideas on, as I'm thinking about it. So now I know it's not true.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the piece that I struggle with is, even though I know it's not true, I'll still catch myself grasping onto it and playing an audio of something in my head, right? And every time it's different. It depends on who I'm thinking about, that audience might be, or
let me just say this. As someone who has the exact same thought, works on it all the time. It never goes away.
Okay.
When you're stressed, you immediately go to, no one fucking helps me ever. Like yesterday, I literally yelled at Chris three times about this. And when I say yell, I mean yell. Like ugly yelling, like, and it has to stop now. I mean, that kind of yelling, you know.
Yes, I completely understand.
Yeah.
So the question is, if I think about, so maybe let's use a good example of like where I just let the audio run, and I really, in hindsight, I saw that I ran the audio, but it got me to a really crappy place because I didn't catch it while it was running. So I was out running. Mm-hmm. And we had something, we're remodeling the house because it's a great time to do that. and I called my husband to tell him we were doing it. And I asked him if he could take care of something while I was out running. And instead of just saying, yeah, I've got it, don't worry about it, which he did. Okay. So he did have it and he did take care of it. He said something else. So then literally I was literally running for exercise. Mm-hmm. But for the next 30 to 45 minutes, I run this replay audio in my head of, why can't he just take care of it? Why can't he just help me? Yeah. And then by the time I get home, like, my jaw's stuck, my teeth are misaligned, you know, I've got a headache, and I'm just furious.
Yeah.
So
where's the problem?
Like, the audio in my head, right?
Okay.
Let me ask you this. The audio in my head. Okay.
Where's the problem today?
The problem today is today I caught an audio. So I get up, I'm doing morning routines. I've finally given up on the fact that not planning isn't good, which Kathy should be happy to hear that she helped me get there. Okay. And so I've come up with a simple morning routine that I'm going to do consistently and do it. And then I look over and my husband's laying in bed snoring.
Yeah.
And I'm just, the intellectual side of me says, I'm glad that's not me anymore because I realize how that wasn't helpful.
Okay.
But then there's still this underlying, I'm resentful that he's not doing what I'm doing.
Yeah. So here's the answer.
So how do I work on this? So for me, right?
Yeah. You want to do this for you because he's still going to need to sleep and be able to talk the way he would like to talk if y'all want to be able to be married. Here's how you work on it. Number one is if you notice it's a pattern for you to always think, I don't have enough help, no one helps me, whatever it is, you know?
Okay.
You do a concerted effort at least once a week, like as you're planning your week or when you're doing stuff. If that's going to be the story that comes up for you, you need to write about, and here's all the ways this week I will have help. And here are the ways that I forget that people are actually helping. The other way is like yesterday when you were really upset and you did your run, you owe it to yourself to, rather than wanting that version of you to go away and for that version of you to stop, what you want is you want to be able to have that version of you and just be like, I want to notice when I'm doing it. Because if you think that it's harder to change something that you judge, like, I don't want to be her and, you know, whatever it is, you don't, at least you're not presenting with a lot of self-loathing, like this is a bad version of me or whatever. But I always, like, I think about me thinking I don't have help and stuff. It's just an unproductive version of me.
Right.
Like, I tell myself the reason why I want to work on this and the reason why I want to remember that I have plenty of help and all that other stuff is so that the vast majority of the time, it automatically comes up for me because I've wrote about it so many times. But there are just going to be some days where something will tap on an insecurity or it will just hit me in the right way and I'll probably go back to that story.
And that's okay.
Yeah. And it's just like having that peace with yourself rather than like, this is probably going to be some kind of deep, dark thought work I need to do, which I don't think you're doing, but a lot of people do that.
They
get caught up in like how much this is, we'll have to do a lot of work on this one. because it's such a big problem in my life. And it's like, no, it's really not. Like, I have 15 people on the team now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I'm constantly amazing. Working on, I have no help. This is what I tell myself. Oh, no. Having no help was 4 years ago when you did all this shit by yourself. Let's not forget Literally. Queenie. Like, you know, I have to like remind myself, oh, no, we're just wrong right now.
Right. Yes, exactly. I like that. I like the weekly writing, like making that concerted effort. And so on the journaling, I listened to Atomic Habits the other day. And so as part of my morning routine, I finally set the timer for 2 minutes. And then only 2 minutes, and I just journal for 2 minutes. And so I'll do that. So I can use that for one of my days that'll be my topic that I journal on.
And I think sometimes even like it may be good for you. This is what's been good for me. It's like, even though I want help, I am not really good at being really clear about the help I need and like what people can do and everything. And so one of the things I answer every single day is, like the things that I need help on today are, and who can help me and how can I ask for it? Because sometimes I think, like, I have this thought, I don't know if this is you, but this is very common when we are married, that you should just know the help that I need. And not only should you know about it, but you should be doing it in a way that makes sense in this brain and not that one. And it's like, I've just kind of decided, like, if I need Chris to do things, like, I have to take 100% responsibility that I've been wrong about it the whole time. I literally worked on this with my coach last week. And I was like, all right, if I've been doing it wrong because I'm not getting the help that I think I need, what is it that needs to change here? Like, where have I failed in this process first? And that always allows for you to, like, take ownership. And it, like, for me, when I really looked at it, I noticed little things. Like, I was wanting, I don't even remember what I was wanting Chris to do. I was wanting him to do something in the business, like give me some shit. I'm not even sure what it was. But when I looked at it, I was telling my coach, I said, well, if I was going to take 100% responsibility, I would probably make sure that, you know, like every time I go to the bathroom, I don't pop into his office just to say hello because he's right there. I know how my husband is. He loves to work uninterrupted and I love to interrupt. Like I'm like a, like I was that person at the office who would like do mad work for 2 hours and then need to spend 15 minutes in someone else's cubicle to talk about what I just did. And then I could go back to work, you know, Chris, not that person. And so I took ownership of that. And I spent last week resisting the urge to go into his office and do all this other stuff. And I still didn't get what I wanted.
Right.
But what I did get was a lot of respect from him and a lot of practice of taking ownership of how I can start showing up different in our relationship before I expect him to start showing up different in our relationship.
I really like that.
Yeah.
That's very helpful for me.
Well, good. Good. I'm glad. All right. Okay.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Let's see. Jennifer E. Let me see if I have a call after this today. I can't remember if anybody else is today. No. Okay. Just recordings. Just making sure I wasn't going to be late for another call. All right, Jennifer, are you there?
Yes, I am. I'm trying to get, there it is. Trying to video. Just doing something.
Hey, it is like oldie but goodie day. Like this, you're the third or fourth person. I think every single person I've coached in an event. So, all right, awesome. I didn't know it was gonna be you. I know it's Jennifer. I was getting. Well, how's it going?
Good. My hair is crazy. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
I wanted to give. I have done something, and I've got this thing messed up. Oh well.
You look good on this side.
Oh, thank you. Oh, there we go. I wanted to give an update. I know we did my class and I have now have myself on a budget. I have a job. I have paid off things and life is good. So
good.
I just want to say thank you.
You're welcome.
Let's see. And right now, I still have a job. It's just I'm laid off right now because of everything. But I kind of, you know, I was kind of complaining to David way back when. He has helped out quite a bit. He was like, you know, I know you're doing what you do, and I'll help pay for things until you get back.
I'm having a hard time hearing you. Can you speak up just a little bit?
Yes.
No, hang on. Say something else.
Okay, is that any better?
That's a little better. Yeah, it was kind of muffled. So, yeah, all right. I could follow along, so you can just pick up where you're at.
Oh, okay. Mine just crashed. Sound preference.
You're okay. You sound good over here.
Well, now I can't hear you, so... Okay, that was all I wanted to say.
Okay.
Well, I'll get back on another time.
All right. Bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, that stinks. How about Jennifer Sin? Do another Jennifer.
Hi.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I'm new. I just joined this month. So,
okay.
Yeah. So I did the relationship course last week. It was amazing. I, of course, worked on with my husband, and he's really great. He's super supportive, but there's this thing that keeps coming up, and I think it's probably me because I tend to be a control freak. he also wants to lose weight and needs to lose some weight too. And so he'll say things like, oh, well, whenever you lose weight, I lose weight. Or, well, I'm only eating what you cook, mm-hmm. or things like that. And it pisses me off because I don't know. I feel like it's a pressure on me. Like, oh, great. Now I have to be responsible for your weight loss too.
Do you think he's making you responsible? Or do you think you're making yourself responsible for his weight loss?
Yeah, I do think it's me because I try to, you know, I try to make everybody happy and I try to do what's best for everybody, but
Let me ask you this. Let me just tell you what I think is probably happening.
Okay.
So we can shortcut the answer. And you tell me if I'm right or wrong. And tell me if I'm wrong, because this is not it. Then we don't need to chase the rabbit.
Okay.
When he says that and you're like, oh, you're making me responsible, does it mean that now if I don't do it right, I'm letting down two people?
Yes. Well, because this is, okay, so this is probably the second part to it, is lots of times he'll lose a ton of weight and I won't. And then I give up.
Yeah, but that's a choice. Do you know what the only difference between the two of you is? When you're working on your weight, he chooses to follow along. When he's working on your weight, on his weight, you don't. Like, you're not really responsible for him. He makes a choice to eat what you're eating. He's just decided it's way easier.
Yeah. That's true.
Because let me ask you this. What is a food he does not like?
Like grilled cheese and tomato soup.
Okay. We're going on the grilled cheese and tomato soup diet. We eat it 3 times a day now. And it's guaranteed wicked weight loss results for Jen. Is he going to follow along?
No.
Right.
No, he wouldn't.
Make a choice to be like, hey, while you're doing your grilled, of course, I'm just going to tell you right now, he must be fucking insane because that's a diet I'd go on if it was.
You know,
when does the grilled cheese and soup sandwich diet start? I'd like to know how to make that happen.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's like one of those things where he would just make a choice. You just happen to be choosing shit he likes. Makes it way easier on him.
Yes. All right. So
you're just going to need to notice when you're annoyed mm-hmm. and be like, oh yeah, that's me thinking I'm responsible for him. But what's in reality happening is if I was eating grilled cheese, he wouldn't be down with my diet.
Yeah.
He's just choosing to do it. Now, do you get upset that it's so easy for him to choose it? Or are you glad? Like, fuck, I don't even have to convince him. He just follows along.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I do okay. think it's really good that he'll follow along with everything. I just, you know, I think in the past it's been like, oh, well, you know, you do really well and then you give up. He'll say that to me.
But is he right?
Yes.
Okay, so
yes.
he's just stating the facts.
Yeah.
Sometimes you give up.
Yeah.
You going to do that this time?
I am not.
Well, then you don't have anything to be upset about.
I know.
That's right. The thing I think a lot of you don't realize is that, like, your partners, like, this is what always slays me about all of us. It's like, how dare he highlight facts and my past?
Yeah.
Although, like, if I ask you, you know, on day one, hey, how much do you believe in yourself? Well, you know how many diets I've failed? It's like, can you help me work on my commitment and my compelling reason? Because I've, like, failed so many times. Yeah. And it's like, when we do it, it makes so much sense. And then when our partners are over there thinking like we do, it's like, what an asshole. Don't you believe in me? Why are we not thinking about my future?
Yes, that is true. Because I'm one too. I believe that everyone else can be successful, but I'm not so sure about myself.
Yeah. I think for all of you, what would be amazing if every one of you would do this. Every time someone doubts you, 100% agree with them. It's like, oh my God, yeah, you're right. All those diets I have failed, that's so crazy. I can't wait until this one succeeds. Like, you're right. I have failed a bunch of them. Thank God I found this one.
Yeah.
Like, you're right. And you know what? I learned everything I need for this one. Like, if you guys just agreed and said those things, guess what? We wouldn't be sitting around needing coaching on how to repair our relationships with our mates and mothers.
Yeah. It's so true. Yes. Well, that's definitely in the thought work for sure. So I'm working on that.
It's like, think about every time, like, take responsibility right now for your weight loss. Do more work on believing in you, because if it's scaring you that he's following along, or it's annoying you that he's following along, it's annoying you for a reason. His following along is pressing on an insecurity you have about you. It's not about him. If it's things like it's so easy because he just gets to follow along, the insecurity is, it's not so easy for me, and it's for these reasons. And go to work on your reasons. Like, use that as the way to smoke out the thought work you need to do to shore up your believability, your confidence in you, your knowing where you're going and the decisions you're going to make and all this other kind of stuff.
That's good. Very helpful. Thank you. Yes.
You're welcome. All right.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Kelly. I'm just getting through people today. Hey.
Hello. How are you?
Hey, it's you. I'm good. Hi, today it's like familiar face day.
It's me.
I've only had one person that I know today. This never happens.
That means that repeat customers are a good thing. Good for business.
Yes. Especially the ones where we like have been in a room that, like, a lot of the girls have been to 2 days or 3 day events with us where there's only like 50 of us or less. And when you're in the tight room with me all day for a couple of days, we all get to know each other quite well.
a little bit, absolutely.
How can I help you?
Well, I'm 7 pounds away from the Century Club.
Mm-hmm.
And
been following you in the Facebook.
Thank you. And I have this thing, and I'm looking for a brilliant nugget of information from you.
Okay.
So that I can put it into my brain and start getting it to work. When I reach a milestone on the scale, because I'm doing great with the hunger scale and sleep and water. I'm killing it with those things. I'm doing great with those. But whenever I reach a milestone on the scale,
mm-hmm.
I seem to start that 5 pound bounce again to where I'm like, okay, if I can just make it to 270, which was my thing. I'm having double knee replacement surgeries done soon. And part of the thing that the doctor told me over a year ago was I have to lose X amount of weight before he'll do the surgery. So I got to that milestone and I'm like, oh, right, I made it by the date that I was supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've just been bouncing, back and forth, at this time. And I've historically done the same thing, whenever I get to, try to get to 230 or, or not 230, 330.
So what do you think is causing? Like if you took an honest look at the last couple of weeks, like what's caused you to swing your weight?
What's causing me to do it right now is I'm crazy about sugar right now. And I'm like,
why?
Sugar never, I don't really know. Well, I do know because I keep buying it. And if I buy it, then I'm going to eat it because my husband and I, we're quarantining. We live in Nashville. But we are at our property and we're building a cabin up here. So we are on 5 acres. Our next door neighbors are Mennonites. I mean, I am in godforsaken nowhere.
But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this though. Why are you buying the sugar then?
I'm buying the sugar because I think my husband wants it.
He probably does. It's sugar. Hell, I want some right now.
Right. Yeah, exactly. We'll go to the little Mennonite store and I'll buy, I'm like, oh, those cookies look good. And he's like, oh, they do. And I'm like, oh, well, he wants these. Then he eats one of them and the rest of them.
Okay. Then why not buy one?
Because they're in a 5-pack.
All right. Buy one, buy a pack, throw the other 4 away, take it home. Why not?
Good plan.
It's a good plan, but why are you not thinking of those strategies?
Well, my husband has issues with throwing things away. I don't, he does. And,
I know what your problem is.
What's that? Oh, lay it on me. Good.
You've abdicated the responsibility for your weight loss to your husband. You've already given me 2 reasons why you're struggling and they both are because of him. Like, not one time did we say, Kelly, it was like, well, it's my husband. He wants that sugar. Yep. Like, let's say, do you have to buy him cookies? Or is this your way? All right. So it's really not him then, right?
No, it's not me. Not him at all. It's all my choices, as is everything as in everything is.
Right. And you know that intellectually, but you're not emotionally owning it right now.
Right.
And that's where we got to make the flip.
Right. And I always get back on track because, I've made progress and things, but I want to not have to white knuckle my way back on track.
Right.
When I get to, I reached this number. How about I just get to the next number down and I don't.
Do you have that conversation or do you go, well, here we are at plateau land?
No, because it takes me a while to realize that I'm at plateau land because I'll bust through that number and then I'm right back to it. And then
you're plateaued right now. Or no?
Yeah. I'm trying to get to 268 because I haven't seen that number yet.
Let's stop saying trying.
Yeah, I'm going to get to 268. I'm currently bouncing back and forth between 269 and 271.
Okay, so let's just say 271 and 268 is our number that we want to be. What are you going to have to do this week to make that happen?
I'm going to have to make a realistic plan and stick with it.
Okay.
And make sure that I get my water in every single day without fail.
So what's going to get in the way of all that?
Myself. Me,
but specifically though, like this is what I want to give you a plan. So I want to know what you think is going to get in the way this week. Cause you probably could lose 2 to 3 pounds this week.
Oh yeah, definitely. Absolutely.
Without having to white knuckle and without having, cause you know, white knuckling only comes from feelings.
Right.
That are controlled by your brain, not your husband, and sugar. Sugar doesn't even do it. It's our thoughts about the sugar, like I can't have it in my house or I eat all of it. That's probably, but do some models on that one.
Okay. And yes, and models are something I'm working on. And I've been in the tribe since January of 2019.
Yeah.
And models, I get so stuck on the circumstance because I'm like, hey, it has to be a fact. There can't be anything, you know. And so I've practiced a lot on
just make
models.
It and one super of my, simple and boring. So, yeah, like, it could be 268. Bought cookies at the store.
Gotcha. Yep.
Like, don't overthink the circumstance line. Just don't have descriptors in there. That's all you got to do. Right. It's like, 5 cookies, I ate 4. And what are my thoughts about that?
Gotcha.
Or sugar. Just put sugar in the circumstance line. And what are all your thoughts around sugar? I think your sugar thoughts are probably what's hurting you on each plateau. Because like when you said, and I don't want to have to white knuckle, and I don't want to have to do this. And, you know, when I have sugar in the house, you have a story that you have around it. Next month's work is going to be awesome for you, by the way. Like,
yes.
All of this is about the story we have around food and the story we have. So, like, totally do self-sabotage. But I want you to, like, pull out a couple things out of this coaching. Number one, I'm not on a plateau. I'm working through a plateau. It's very different than I always plateau with these weights. And I, like, you have to change that vernacular you're using. Otherwise, your brain doesn't have a direction to go into. The second is there's zero reason why I ever eat because of my husband. Right. That is for every one of us. You know, just because he doesn't like to throw away cookies doesn't mean I need to eat them.
Right.
Like if he eats one cookie, it means I will be sitting with urges around the other 4. That's a very different conversation in your head than he doesn't like them when they're thrown away. Also, when you go shopping and it's like, oh, he would really like this. And you need to have the conversation. He would really like this. And I will also have urges. So do I want to buy it? Okay. That's a very different conversation than just the titillating conversation around buying it. So I think for a lot, I watch a lot of you do this. I don't care if you have sugar in your house or if you decide like, no, you know what? It'll be way easier for me to lose weight if the only way for me to consume sugar is to actually go to the store and buy some. I think that there's upside to keeping it in the house. Like what I don't want people doing is saying, I can't buy this because I can't control myself. And so I'm going to never practice having those urges. And so you just kind of cut it all out of your life until there's a day when you can't cut it out of your life, right? Versus going to the store and having a conversation like, I can buy the cookies, but here's what also comes with the cookies. Like he'll enjoy them, but he doesn't think about them like I do. And if he doesn't eat them, I am setting myself up to work through a lot of urges. do I really want to do that this week? And if you don't, that is a decision you make for yourself. That's you thinking about all the implications of food and your relationship with it. That's you examining your reasons versus reinforcing a thought. Like when you don't buy the cookies and you tell yourself, I can't have those because I'm addicted to sugar. And if I have them in my house, I'll never be able to control myself. The result is I don't build a relationship with food or myself. I deprive myself of building a relationship with food. You don't have to have the food in the house and you don't have to eat the food in the house to build a relationship with it.
Interesting. True.
So like thinking about these instances, just from what I pulled out of our conversation of how you're talking about things, talk about it a little different with yourself. So I want you to watch the call and I want you to watch how you talked about it. Like, you know, it was like, you know, this is my husband's stuff and all this stuff. And it's like, if I was going to ratchet up the intensity of my conversations, like when I mentioned, you know, well, he only eats one and then there's those four and, you know, he doesn't really like wasting food. It's like, all right, so if I was going to retell it from a place of someone who was determined to never be on a weight loss plateau, how would I tell the story of I bought cookies, he ate one and four were left?
I could change that around to say, I bought cookies, he ate one, four was left, and I chose that I didn't want any today because it wasn't on my plan. Or I chose to plan to have one tomorrow because I really wanted one.
Yeah. And it could also, like, part of the conversation has to be very honest. I'm probably going to have urges to eat these cookies today. Mm. And that's okay. And if I want to eat the cookies all day long, at some point I need to decide, is keeping the cookies in the house worth it? Or is this a really good opportunity for me to practice seriously only having cookies when I plan?
Excellent.
You notice how different that is from saying, like, I've got to throw these away because I can't control myself, versus I'm probably just going to get rid of them because I don't want this chatter all day.
Right.
Like, I just really want to do myself a solid and get back. Like, I do this sometimes. Like, so let's say we order from Brother Burger, and like Logan is like one of those people who loses interest in food. I'm like, how's this happen?
I wish.
How did you come from this womb is what I always want to say.
Oh, I wish.
But he'll lose interest in food, and then he'll put like a big juicy burger like sitting in the fridge, just barely touched. And I'm just like, oh, God, I just want that burger. I want that burger so bad. It would be so good. And I hadn't had a burger in a while. Like, my brain goes to all of it. And the next day, it'll be sitting in there, and I'll be thinking about it. And eventually, I will go to Logan and say, either eat your burger for lunch, or I'm throwing it away. And he'll be like, why? And I'm just like, because I don't want you eat. Like, I just tell him, I don't want you eating a day old burger. Like, I don't, and of course, you know, in a restaurant, you don't necessarily want people to be eating food that's been sitting in the fridge too long.
Right.
But then on the inside, what I always tell myself is I can either sit there and think and work through urges around a burger all day long and prove to myself that I can work around urges all day long, or I can toss the burger because it's not that big a deal to him and I can get back to life.
Right.
And then there's sometimes it doesn't bother me at all. And you know why it doesn't bother me at all sometimes?
Why?
Because of the days that I don't tell myself that this is a problem, that this is not a problem. Mm. That's why, like, sometimes, like, there can be food in the house and it never gets on my radar. Because I've told myself so many times, it's just a choice. Sometimes we have urges, sometimes we don't. You're always in control. You're in control of whether or not you throw it out. You're in control of whether or not it's not a big deal. You're in control of all of it. And when I always think about that, it makes managing all of it so much easier. But it doesn't mean that I don't have desire sometimes. I just don't. Like what I watch, like in this scenario, where I notice that I'm sabotaging future results because of the story that I tell myself that, like, I can't have these things, so I need to set my life up in such a way. So, like, when you're highly motivated to set your life up in one way, you lose weight. And when you're not as motivated, you don't like, this is probably one of the other things, you probably are really good at making a goal. And then once you have a goal, it's like, unless you have something exciting to look forward to, you create excitement in trying to solve the plateau problem.
Yes. You got it. You nailed it. Hashtag nailed it. You got it.
We all do it. We all do it. That's why I have like recently really, I've really been digging into urges and different things like that for you guys, but specifically with myself. And I've noticed a huge increase in them because I'm really listening to all the little things that I think about and notice them and just like, okay, guess, I swear this last week I have had urges every single night to eat. I've had to work through them every single, I've either had the urge to drink or I've had the urge to eat. And it's because I'm setting myself up to do harder things during the day, which means I pay a price at night.
Yep.
And I have to do all my mental work, but it's worth all of it. And that's what keeps me working on it. It's because I keep telling myself, I'd rather be working through urges because I'm pushing myself than to not be working on urges because I'm just setting my life up to avoid hard work.
Mm. Yep.
Okay. That's a good call.
Yep.
You'll bust it.
Oh yeah, I will. I'm going to, and Lord willing, we'll get out of this motorhome. I'm living in 280 square feet.
It's like tiny living, man.
Oh, y'all. I'm done, but that's okay because we live on a houseboat in Nashville, and it's only 600 square feet. So that's tiny. This is teeny tinier, and it's starting to get to me. But
I couldn't do it. Like Chris and I talk about, we'll watch those like, what do they call like the extravagant tiny homes, like where they're all modern. Yeah. Like, oh, that looks so good. And Chris is like smoking crack. Y'all. He's like, you and I can't be like in the same room that much. Oh, much y'all. Less, there you know.
I'm so glad we're building a cabin down there because that's where my husband is right now. I just need some time and space because there's nothing. We're in a motorhome.
There's nothing.
There's no escaping. So I appreciate it, Corinne. Thank you.
You're
so
welcome.
Much.
All right.
All right. Bye. Have a good day. Bye.
All right, y'all. Let me answer a couple of questions and we'll get out of here so that I can record y'all's self-sabotage. I think my habit brain is scared of change and wants to keep me doing what's familiar. When I try to implement something new, like journaling through urges, it seems that the next thing is an overeat or something else that feels self-defeating. Nothing can feel self-defeating without a thought. That's one of the things that you have to remember. So you ask, like, how do I convince my habit brain that change is good, even if unfamiliar and scary? I wouldn't try to convince your habit brain that change is good. You're just trying to feel better about something that probably is going to feel unfamiliar and scary. Like, unfamiliar and scary is what you should be feeling. So I would just come up, and this is the normal part. Like, that's, if you're going to like change to feeling good, it's like, this is what's supposed to happen. Like, if I'm going to journal through urges, it's probably not going to feel amazing at first, especially if I have self-defeating thoughts. But that's the part I want to uncover. I want to know that when I have urges and I overeat, you know, part of journaling will be uncovering self-defeating thoughts. Until I uncover that part, I'm just judging myself and feeling bad. So like that next phase is, oh, that's like why it's unfamiliar and scary. I got to figure out, I need to know all this stuff. Guys, you have to form it in a question. Sometimes you guys just throw out random statements and I don't really know. This person says, when I overeat, I'm not talking nice to myself according to my Marco Polo group. I'm gaining, not losing. Well, you'll never, let me ask you this. Are you more apt to lose weight if you feel better about yourself, or are you more apt to gain weight the more you talk like shit to yourself? I mean, that's just what happens, guys. So if your Marco Polo group is saying you are not talking nice to yourself, then ask them, what are the things that I can start saying to myself when I have overeats that will help me figure out a solution forward that will help me like solve. A lot of you sit around and think that an overeat means you're a bad person. Like you use it as a like a moral mark on who you are. An overeat doesn't make you bad. An overeat just means you overate. That's it. When I overeat, it means I overate. It might mean the scale won't go down this week. It might mean that, you know, I'm going to have heartburn. But it doesn't mean I'm a failure. It doesn't mean those things. I heard a really good example of this the other day. So for a lot of us, we think that if we lose weight, somehow we're going to be a good person and we're going to be so happy and we're going to be like all these things. And they were using the example of if we were all going to sit down and do a puzzle and do a, and like, you know, create one and whatnot, nobody would be at the end going, oh my God, I'm such a better human being. And I'm so happy. And my life is complete because I just completed this puzzle. Or if we couldn't figure it out and it was like, you know, 5 million pieces or something, then we wouldn't sit around going, oh, no one's ever going to like me because I didn't complete this puzzle. And I'm never going to be able to have my hopes, dreams, and goals. And this must mean I'm broken. Everybody else is so much better than me at putting together the puzzles and blah, blah, blah. Like we wouldn't do that, but weight loss is the same. Like it's a process to get to the end. And it's like, you eat or you don't. You plan or you don't. You need to figure out what's going on until, like, you have to put the puzzle pieces together until you have the complete picture at the end, which will be you reached your goal. Along the way, if you're trying to put together a puzzle and every single time you try to put a piece in and it doesn't fit, you've got to sit back, drink a glass of wine, and have a verbal beatdown. You ain't ever going to get through the puzzle. You're going to give up on the puzzle. So make sure that you guys remember that when you're trying to lose weight, we're just trying to figure out the puzzle of you when it comes to food and getting to where you want to go, which means you're going to have to try lots of things and a lot of things aren't going to work all the time. That's all the normal part of it. You'll learn a lot about this next month in self-sabotage. Thoughts are not, questions aren't thoughts. So if you have a question for your model, then either you can answer the question and put it in the thought line, or like if you say like, well, why bother? A lot of times you can either answer the question, but if the answer to the question is like you automatically go into problem solving, you don't really have to do anything because you're going to start like, well, I'll tell you why I bother because I really want more for my life. That's fine. Then you've already jumped to the next model. That's like a redirect out of that model. But if you go, why bother? Because I'm always a failure or whatever, then you put stuff like that in there. Like, so when you think the question, why bother? If it brings up doo-doo, you put in the doo-doo. Or you can just flip it and make it a question and turn it into a thought like, I don't want to bother. Doing it never works anyway. So just kind of do that. But the thought line is always going to have a statement. It's always going to have a period. It's never going to have a question mark. When does registration for July camp close? When it sells out or the day we start? So either one. You guys can register at any time. July camp is open for business. I'm having a meeting this week with the team that does all of the staging and they're doing the lot, like we're going to have a big lobby area this year and all kinds of stuff. So we've been trying to have an event. This is our second, we had two canceled this year. I feel pretty good about July. I just want to let all of you know that if you register and we have to cancel, we will do a refund because we did a refund for the other events too. So I'm not going to like say, you know, I'm not going to give you a refund. So if for worst case scenario, if we had to cancel, that would happen. But and a refund just on your registration. Now, don't be messaging me and saying, well, I booked a flight and a car and all this other shit. Like, you know, if it was y'all, this is what everybody keeps saying. If we've all learned anything, we've all learned travel insurance is probably a good deal. Nobody thought it was till this, but you know, I would, if you want to register, go ahead and register. We plan to have it. So, I have a lot of accountability buddies who are leaving the tribe for personal reasons. Okay. I start thinking that maybe I need to do the free podcast and blah, blah, blah. Can you please give me some recommendations on hanging on and not worrying about others? Are there any courses on this? I don't have a course on people leaving. Usually what I tell people is like your reason. This is what I see most often. People leave the tribe, like they'll say personal reasons. You're in a group where we work on personal reasons and dealing with it all the time. Now, if you've lost your job, you can't afford to be here. I get that. Yeah, I'd use the free stuff. But if you're using personal reasons as an excuse because you keep overeating and you keep beating yourself up and feeling hopeless, you're fucking doing it wrong. That's not why you quit. At some point, all of us have to give up on the idea that we're going to one day quit and that's going to solve all of our problems. Quitting only does one thing. It solves a busted sentence you have in your head right now about why you can't do something. It solves the judgment you have about yourself. It allows you some relief to get away from changing the relationship you have with you. That's my opinion. Like, I'm not going to create a course around people who are ready to give up on themselves. That's called phase two of no BS. At some point, you have to be willing to stop giving up on yourself because of what other people do, what other people say, what's going on around you, and what's happening in the world. Those are terrible reasons to give up on yourself. Everybody just think about this for a minute. How many times am I going to give up on myself because of an opinion, what the crowd's doing, and what the world's happening? Like, what's going on there? What if I just learn that I don't give up on myself no matter what? You know what I do? I double down on figuring out myself. That's what I do. That's what we all have to do. And so, like, for your accountability buddies, I'm going to tell you, it's cold out there. Y'all, when you leave the web of the no BS group, you go out into the world where everybody has an opinion about how you should live your life. You go out into the world where everybody's bitching and moaning and not taking ownership for themselves, and you fall into the herd. And then wonder why it's so hard for you. Draw a line with you. If you want to leave, I'll be the first one to help you leave. But I want you leaving because you've done your work on you. Like, I'm either so legit that I don't need it, or I've lost all my weight and I graduate. Or, like, stay. Sometimes the hardest thing to do is, like, not use your life anymore as an excuse to give up on what you want. I'm struggling with the intentional modeling. My unintentional thought is I took a nap on the floor while my toddler was awake. I needed a nap. Let's see. Okay, that was the circumstance. I'm sorry. And the thought is I needed a nap because I was tired. The feeling despondent. I don't think that that is the feeling that's coming from that. I think you have a judgment. I think you think I needed a nap because I was tired. Is like, I think you still have that as your circumstance. Because I knew, like, they're, like, despondent probably has another thought going on there. The action, I sleep and deprive toddler of attention. That's another thought. You're depriving your toddler of attention. It's like you took a nap. Took a nap, toddler's playing. What thought do you want to be having about that? I guess I'm confused how to diffuse mom guilt. So your thought is, like, this is where I would, this is what I, how I'd clean up your model. and took a nap and toddler was playing on the floor. The thought is, I deprived my child of attention. Guilty. That's the model you need to work on. The action when you have guilt is probably to catastrophize the situation, spiral in self-loathing thoughts about who you should be and who you aren't. Like, compare yourself to these moms and despair yourself around who you are. That's usually, or we eat that kind of thing. And then the result, let me see. The result is I deny myself love and attention. So you said the thought, I need coffee. Now we want a thought. You're trying to figure out this is what you're trying to do. You're trying to create a model where you don't need to take a nap while your toddler is playing. Like, if you just want to not drink coffee, you're just like, you know what? Here's what I want you to think about. We need a model first that's going to reconcile that you don't need to feel guilty for the nap because the nap has already happened. So what we want is, we want to have a model for you where took a nap while the toddler was sleeping. And the thought is, sometimes that's what tired moms do. One of the thoughts that I use a lot is, I have it in my head, I should be this way. And sometimes I'm wrong about me. Or sometimes I have it in my head, I shouldn't be taking a nap, when that's just a judgment about myself. Like, really just understanding what that thought is gets you out of the guilt and gets you into the awareness of that I have guilty mom thoughts sometimes, so that you can start noticing them without believing the story. And y'all, please don't feel dumb for asking for help for models. Why do you guys think we have a call every month called Models? So we can help you guys with models. You're not supposed to know how to do them automatically. I've only been doing them for 5 years and I still mess them up. So I have a feeling that all you newbies are going to be A-okay doing them, okay? So I feel like crap because I'm not a Montessori master. So that's another thought you have. So what I would do, Carol, is I would make a list of all the judgment thoughts I have. What are all the icky feeling thoughts I have about me as a mother? I should be doing this. I should. Like, good moms do this. Make a list of all of that. And then I want you to take just a moment to assess it and just say, no wonder I feel guilty, because if I think that this is supposed to be happening, of course I would feel guilty. But what could I also be thinking about me? That sometimes I get tired. I get tired too. I was telling myself, I had a thought last night because I didn't want to talk to Logan at all. I didn't feel good. I'd already yelled at Chris all day long. The last thing I wanted to do was talk to the baby. And I just had a thought you know what? Today's one of those days where this is the part of the mom that comes out. I'm not going to be a perfect mom all the time, and that's okay. There are other things I do well. Connecting when I'm tired and irritated and stuff, I don't do that well. And I don't put that expectation on myself anymore. And I've had to teach myself to think that way. But that came from me, basically about a year ago, doing some work that I just told you to do. What standard do I keep holding myself to and failing over and over again to? The work isn't in you living up to your standard. I got to meet this. The work for you is realizing that that is not true. What else could be true? What other version of a mom could you be? And sometimes you'll be that mom. And sometimes you'll want to be this other one. And that's okay too. Just giving yourself a break around all of it. Okay. When do you think 2021 event registration will be open? And do you think you'll have another 6-day? We are having another one of the 6 days. It's going to be 5 days this time. We kind of condensed it by one day. We had one day in the middle that was just for coaching. And what we found was that we did so much coaching, we didn't need an entire day for coaching. So we're going to do it over 5 days. It will be in January. We are finalizing some contracts and stuff. We can't announce anything until we've actually locked contracts in. And we're finalizing a lot of the contracts with, we have to contract vendors and camera people and hotels. And there's a lot of contracts and deposits that have to get paid for every single event once they get locked. So we have to, we're finalizing some of that. When are we going to get the mentor groups for July? Soon. Mary Jo was talking to the mentors yesterday, actually. So you're getting those very soon. And last one, I'm not consistently doing the basics. What is the best way to dig into why and address it? When I do discovery sheets, I usually write, it looked good or I want it. That's exactly why you're doing it. Then I beat myself down for being a plan. So the reason, like, first of all, there's no sense in beating yourself up. And there's also no sense in looking for, like, the one reason why you may be overeating some and why you just want it and stuff is because you know that if you don't have it, like if I always have a sense that if somebody is beating themselves up for an overeat, they have a habit of beating themselves up in other arenas in life. So I know, for example, I have a lot of clients who, like you guys, lots of people will do this. They beat themselves up when they overeat. And if we don't eat, we have a pattern of not liking ourselves established. Just by knowing how you're showing up after an overeat shows us the level of relationship you have with you. So like if I overeat, the last thing I do is beat myself up. I immediately go into asking, like wanting to know what's wrong, what's going on. Obviously, if you're doing these things because you love you love being healthy, you love all these things. And if you're doing things that like don't do that, or like I remember when I was losing weight, I used to ask myself all the time, if I was overeating or something, I would say, obviously something's wrong because you have so many dreams and goals you love. You're creating such an amazing life. You're so focused on who you want to be. So if you're acting like the old version of you, what could be going on? That showed a pattern of someone who is learning how to like have their back most of the time, to always be looking to figure their shit out. When somebody has overeats and the first thing they do is beat themselves up, that shows a pattern of other areas in life that's happening. So if you don't eat, if you're not doing the basics, what conversation is happening? Like, let's say that you're going to stop eating at 6 o'clock, like kitchen's closed. I know that if I have dinner and I'm going to bed at 9:30, there's zero reason for snacking in the evening. And I've just made a commitment to myself. I don't eat after dinner anymore, ever. 8 o'clock rolls around and I'm done with dishes and I'm done busying of the day and I'm unwinding and I'm sitting there. And I'm like, I could just really go for a glass of wine or like a bowl of ice cream would really hit the spot. And you tell yourself, no, we're not having that. If you are someone who judges themselves, the conversation will go more into, you can't have that. You're just going to fail again if you eat that. It will be very self-loathing. It will be very punitive. You will start feeling worse and worse and worse until you just like, you know, I just really want it. And all you'll really remember is that statement and not the beatdown. Or the other thing will happen. You'll just like, oh, I just could really go for some ice cream. It's been such a long day. Remember like earlier when you said that to so-and-so, you should never talk to people like that. It's so hard. Everybody just seems to just not like you. And you don't seem to do a good job. And like your brain is like running on self-judgment subtly and quietly. And all you remember is like, I just wanted ice cream. I don't know. If you don't have it and you just kind of listen for a minute, guys, just be like, I just want to know what it is I do think about when I'm not eating. I know that I just want it is the way that I get myself to go have it. I just want it is the response to the urge to have the ice cream. But what is the reason why I want to have it to begin with? And it's never going to be something hugely deep. It's probably just going to be because, like, you had a bad day, and the way that you're describing the bad day means you were bad in the process or people didn't like you. No, you're not going to want to sit there and relive that without ice cream. You're just going to want to tune that out. But if you start understanding, like, oh, no wonder I would want ice cream. You know, was the day as bad as I'm making it out to be? Is tomorrow going to be as bad as I'm making it out to be? Is there anything positive? Is all of this even true? Is any of it just a, like, phantasm going on in my brain? Whatever it is it fantasy thinking? Like, and I'm, when I say fantasy, not in the good way. So thinking about that stuff and examining that stuff is super important. But knowing that you judge yourself after an overeat is very indicative that if you just want something, it's probably because in those moments when you're not having it, there's probably a little judgment going on about how you showed up for the day, judgment about others. Like our caller, Katie, like if she's wanting to say no to ice cream, like it's time to say no to the ice cream at night. Well, right before she just wants ice cream, she had about 10 thoughts about how Dwayne should be showing up. So she was judging Dwayne. Then she has ice cream. Next thing you know, she's judging herself. Judgment is such a pervasive pattern. And so you want to look for it everywhere that you can find it. But guys, I will tell you the easiest hack for I just want it is to say, I just want it is a thought I have very often about food that I haven't planned. That looks good is obvious. Of course it looks good. But that doesn't mean I need to have it. It doesn't mean that I planned it. Like, you got to have the back end conversation. That doesn't mean that you won't go get it. But most of you just like, I just want it. Dead stop, period. No more. Drop a mic. I don't know why I keep going in there getting it, because I don't even argue with I want it. And I don't mean a mean argument. Just like, I just want it is one of those sentences I say when I want to eat things that aren't on my plan. Like, raise the level of awareness around it. Okay, guys, y'all have a good one. Got to record your self-sabotage course all afternoon. Y'all have a good day. It was a good call, y'all. Bye.